Chapter 13, please.
Creation doesn't just have three pieces. So if you want to do this in your notes when you're seated, we're really not going to talk about full salvation. We're going to talk about full salvation as we experience it. Because something's missing. And it's missing to the left. What would be missing? You'd actually have to look at it. Well, I'm talking about as we experience it, something to the left is really missing. How about election? Do you think God does anything before you showed up? Yeah, so it's all of that. But we're just going to talk about salvation full as we experience it. Is that simple? This morning, I dealt with this. We had Cliffy telling us, yes, that it's okay to stay in the desert the rest of your life and be a bump. Then we had Dada saying, no, I have some miracle water. If you send me money, I'll get you there today. Both of them are lies. What is the solution? What is the phrase? By little and little. Yes. Tonight we're going to look at that theologically. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In the top of your notes are the two key verses we'll look at tonight. The top verse says this, being confident. Paul is writing the church and telling them that he is very confident in this thing, that he, meaning God, which hath begun a good work in you. Well, if he's begun something, that must mean it's not what? Yes, salvation is not all one thing. Hello? Salvation has a beginning, it has whatever happens in the middle, and it has an end. And it's really, this is, by the way, for everybody that's worried about big words, Frenchie was asking about monergism, please look at me. Pastor Warren is only going to say one thing all night. You got it? One thing all night. Salvation, as we experience it, has three parts. That's it. You see all these notes? They all say, salvation, as we experience it, has? That's it. Now, understand, before we experience it, there's a huge piece that Arminians leave out. But that's not the purpose of this tonight. Philippians chapter 2, in your notes. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Why? For it is God which worketh in you, both to will, both in the willing and in the doing, of his good pleasure. Full salvation as we experience it is really simple. Now I have a little statement. I say this, as we work through this, remember the word concept fallacy. Never, ever get fixated on a word. Most of the time, look up here, the three parts of salvation, the beginning, what goes on in the middle, and the end has more than one name. So I could talk about justification. I could talk about redemption. I can't hear you. I could talk about adoption. I could talk about ransom. There's many ways, the new birth, there's many ways of describing the beginning of salvation. We all agreed. But unfortunately, we all, when I say we all grew up in the Bible Institute background, and I'm reading a book on it now and understanding there was some dumb things taught in our circles. And they tried to make a distinction between all words, and people don't have a clue how to think. There is probably 15 or 20 easy ways we can describe what happens when you get saved. And there's different ways we could describe this middle part. And there's different ways we could describe the future. All of that, don't get caught in the word. We're looking for concepts, not words. Got it? All right. In your notes. Basically, as we experience it, we experience justification first. And then sanctification. And then what? Now right above that I have an arrow. Here is where I differ. As I preached this morning, and some of you were somewhat awake, some not,
I think we have a cliffy. I think that's 75% of the evangelical world that will tell you every week either how to be saved, or they will tell you how you can know you're saved. And after a while, you're like, why did you just keep talking about the same thing to the same group of people? Now, what this does, by the way, if you go to those churches, people often get saved 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Because they're disobeying 2 Peter chapter 1, which is not mentioned. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, add to your faith, and then it gives you a list. And then it tells you, if you do this, you're going to move forward. If you don't, you're probably going to come to the place, and I'm paraphrasing terribly, where you doubt your salvation. So in my brother's background, everybody's been saved 5 times. I remember they had a revival in the church. Everybody in the church got saved. This was the 14th time, including the pastor's wife. Because that's all they talk about. Salvation as we experience it, my friend, begins with justification, moves on to what's called sanctification, and ends in what we call glorification. Let me give you something that's not in your notes, and it should be. This is Frenchie's fault, too. I remember Romans 13, the first time I heard this. Someone said, do you realize you are not yet saved? But I grew up in churches that said you can be saved and know you're saved. What was he talking about? Remember Romans 13:11? For now is our salvation nearer than when we... He's talking about this, folks. Salvation has, we are saved. We are being saved. And we shall be saved. It has all three portions. That's not in your notes, but you can write it down. It's actually, you're going to find the word salvation used in all three different ways. Sometimes it's talking about when you get saved initially. Sometimes it's talking about God saves you more and more, so to speak. And sometimes it's talking about in the future when you're saved. Another way of saying it, we are saved from the penalty of sin at salvation. We are saved from the, hopefully, by the power of sin during this life. And one day we will be saved from the very presence of sin. I know you've heard some of this. So then I have a question. When I read Philippians 2, why would I have people in our church offended and angry at me when I mention the word obedience? They never obeyed anybody. Well, you see, if Christianity is connected, if this is connected to this, which is connected to this, if you get saved, to some degree, this is going to happen as well as this. So the only thing I can do is say something's wrong. We're missing something. Maybe we've lived and believed a lie, Cliffy's lie. In your notes. In the text, Philippians 1:6, which gives us the three parts. Is that correct? It gives us all three parts. If you look up there, he says, being confident in this very thing, that he, meaning God, which hath begun. Begun means what it sounds like. It's that which happens in the beginning. God started something. When you got saved, when you were justified, then we move. But Paul is confident, not that, look at me, Paul's not confident that God saves you and go ahead and live your life, peace and love. Oh no, he's sure, Paul is sure that the God who begins something, what does it say? Is going to continue to do something. His confidence wasn't in once saved, always saved, nonsense. And our church is still full of that after 22 years. It makes me angry. I believe in eternal security. But not of this variety that you're sitting back here on the bench 22 years later and nothing happens in your life. Folks, something's wrong. Because Paul's confidence is in God. The one who began a good work will perform that good work in between, sanctification, until when? The day you see Jesus. Yes, this is full salvation as we experience it. In your notes, I've already said this. We have in this text, begun, underneath that is past. And past in our experience is what I mean. If you're a believer, in your experience in the past is you have been saved, justified. That happens at a point in time. Next, it's also in the present. It's not just in the past. And every time you talk to somebody, you talk about being saved 42 years ago. You can also talk about all the things that God has done in your life, because he not only justified us, he's sanctifying us. He not only redeemed us, he's continuing to redeem us. He not only adopted us, but he's preparing us for heaven. There's both sides of this. So there is a past, there is a present, and obviously there is a future. Now, can I ask a question? What is the problem with most Christianity? It has a past, it has a present, it has a future, and it has nothing here. God ain't doing nothing. Only thing God wants to do is get you saved and take you to heaven. Show me that any place in the Scripture. If that was true, why does Paul write all these things called epistles telling you and I how to live out the Christian life? But this is where we live. Everything is here. And boy, I thank God I'm going to heaven. Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. I thank God I'm going to heaven. And this is the piglets. Excuse me, I better not go there. I don't like piglets. We continue. So, there's a past, there's a present, there's a future. Next, justification is an act, meaning it's done. It's an act. It's done at a very specific point in time. Whereas sanctification is what? Yeah. Let me see. Can you quote it? Can you quote it from this morning? By little and little. Of course. It's a process. How long does it take? Well, for some of us, it takes a long time. Some of us, if we had 1,000 years, we wouldn't have gone very far. But frankly, folks, the whole plan of this is, if I turn this way and go past, present, future, probably illustrates it better. The moment God justifies us, he begins the work of sanctification. I have at the very top of the chart, I have arrows. Because I believe at the point of this justification, this is not, I'm justified and if I get around to it, I'll get sanctified. No, this is salvation, that we experience God's justification, which we'll explain in a moment. And then out of that flows sanctification. God begins to work. God begins to change. God begins to mature you. God begins to make you different. Of course, it is a process. And as I say in your notes, we must not think this means a smooth process. I remember in St. Louis, we had a so-called Christian TV station, and they always pictured getting saved as getting on a sailboat. Jenny, you remember this. And the sailboat just kind of... By the way, think of your Christian life as more like this, a tornado. This ain't no smooth, oh, I'm just resting in Jesus. How is it, Cliffy? Chillax. Good luck on that one. By the way, it's more like a tornado happening through your life. You say, why? Because God, the God that began this work, that justified you, he's pretty serious about this process. And he brings all kinds of different... My friend Walter, I love Walter for many reasons. Do you know Walter, since he's been here, has had open heart surgery? And Walter, I thought that was bad. I think your last surgery scared me more. When I saw the pictures and stuff, it scared me to death. I didn't know. Walter does not have a hole in his heart. He doesn't have a heart, but no, he does. He had a hole in his stomach wall, and then his stomach decided to take a vacation through that hole. I'm like... May I say something, folks? Is the Christian life smooth? Some days, some weeks, some years. Then there's other years, yes? Why? Because God is a lot more interested in you becoming holy than he is in you becoming comfortable. I asked everybody this morning, how many of you have been in a fist fight recently? Some of you just were dumbfounded. By the way, I'm guessing quite a few haven't been in a fist fight in a long time. And I'm not, as Tom, which wasn't even here, figured out, I wasn't referring to a physical fight. Yeah, it's serious. Let's continue. Glorification is also an act. So it is this. We start at a point in time, we have this process. not smooth. I don't know what it looks like. You can diagram it like this. And I think everybody's is a little different. And then there's the day when you die and see the Lord, or when the rapture happens, and that's at a point in time. So this process of salvation as we experience it here starts at a point in time. It's an act. It's a long process, and it is a point where God makes us like his son. That is, this, by the way, I'm only going to say one thing. We've been saved, we're being saved, we shall be saved. I'm going to say it over and over in different ways. But please look at me. I do have a question for you. Why is it we have people who refuse to grow in grace? I'm listening. And it's my precious time. Why is it? I think God hasn't begun anything. If you're the same person in all the years you've been here, God hasn't begun a good work. Quit playing religion. Quit playing. That's all it is playing. You say, are you mad? No. There is the other kind of Christianity doesn't exist, folks. It's a lie. Well, let's continue. This is Martin Luther's great breakthrough, 1500s. He said justification is this. At this point in time, we are declared righteous. We are declared righteous. You say, Pastor Warren, how are we declared righteous? Not because, by the way, the Roman Catholic Church, if you listen to what they say, they always combine justification and sanctification as a process. No, at the beginning of this, God looks at you and sees you in your sin, and because you've come, by God, grace and by his Spirit, you come to Christ. God's Son's righteousness is imputed, by the way, that's another word we could use, imputed to your account. Your sin is put on his account, so to speak. And what happens at that point? God then cannot, he doesn't make you righteous at this point. He declares you are righteous. At that point, you are declared justified. As some people say, and it's okay, just as if you had never sinned. You are released from the bondage. Sanctification, on the other side, is we are made more righteous. So if I understand sanctification, and I do, as Wendell Evans, Dr. Evans at HAC said, he must have said it in my 5.5, 6 years there 1,000 times. He said, Christianity is not measured in years. It's measured in decades. And I remember the first time I heard it, and I thought, okay, I guess, what's that mean? The longer I was there, the longer this starts to make sense. After having graduated from Christian college back in the dark ages, nearly, I don't know how many, 30-something years ago, look at me, I understand. Because if God began a good work in you and declared you righteous because of Christ, you're going to have ups and downs, you're going to have bumps and bruises, there's going to be a few tornadoes in your life, but guess what? God is going to make you more. That's sanctification. That's, I have been saved, I am being saved, I shall be saved. Yes, that's what it is. We continue. Of course, glorification is made completely righteous like Christ. When you go to heaven, you won't have to worry about sin. You say, why? You will be made like Christ. You will lose that wonderful, that's a terrible thing to say, sin nature. At that point, you will be made completely righteous like Christ. Another way of saying all of that underneath, justification is this, righteousness imputed to our account. Righteousness is imputed to our account. Folks, it would be like this. You have the big ledger. This never happens to anybody in this room. Here's how much money you got in the bank, and here's your bills. For most people, you're hoping they're kind of equal, right? Here's the problem. You were born a sinner, and you are a sinner. And what you have to pay is more than any righteousness you could ever make up. You're sunk. But at the point of salvation, God himself, he doesn't give you his righteousness. He puts it on your account. And all of a sudden, all of your sins and the righteousness of Christ, and you're like, where did that come from? It came from Christ's righteousness put on your account. It's imputed to your account. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. It's put on your account. And then you have hope. Before that, you have none. But secondly, there's sanctification. Sanctification is righteousness imparted into our life, into our lives. God is going to progressively impart and work out into our very lives the righteousness of Christ. Lastly, we have righteousness perfected. We won't have that problem. Now, friends, please look at me. I'm going to do this because I'm not going to spend my 30 minutes. There are verses in your notes. Please look. I want all the folks to look here. You're going to notice I only put a handful of verses. Do not get consumed with the words. We're looking at the concepts. There is a concept we can call many names about being justified at the beginning. There's another concept you can call many names about being sanctified. And there's another concept you can call many names about being glorified. Don't get fixated on a word. Look for the concept. Is that hard? It's contrary to the Bible Institute mentality of which all fundamentalists come from in America today. It's been washed out of the Bible Institute, but the stuff still floats around. Sorry, folks. Words and concepts. All right, in your notes, we will just look at a few. Romans 3:28. This is the first part. This is God beginning a good work. Therefore, we conclude that a man, I think a woman works here too, is justified by what? Without the deeds of the law. Turn to the back page, please. How about John 5:24? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my word and he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. My friend, that's talking about the same period of time. What happens at the beginning? You are saved. You are given eternal life. You are justified. Back to the front page. Then there's this thing called sanctification. We've already read some verses. By the way, you could read so many verses on this. It doesn't make any difference what the verse is. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, which means if you're a dearly beloved, you already have salvation. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And let me say something. If you don't get cleaned up, you're not going anyplace. There has to be some times when God cleans up the filth. And I don't want to have conversations with people in this church about a few piglets in this church who never get cleaned up. And they're still living the pig life that they did decades ago. The pig life needs to stop. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting, which means this is an ongoing process. Holiness in the fear of God. Look on the backside of your notes, please. In most churches I've been in, I heard John 10:28 and 29 thousands of times. I never heard a guy quote John 10:27 until I started quoting it in church. My sheep do what? And I know them and they. What is that, folks? Sanctification. What's glorification? We'll just look at one text for time. Look on the front side, please. 1 John chapter 3. By the way, all these texts, every place teaches the same thing. Friend, all I can tell you about this morning's sermon is this. This morning's service sermon was this. By little and little, God himself will drive out the enemies. By little and little, you will drive out your enemies. By little and little, the hornets will drive out your enemies. And there's three pieces to this. There is that which God begins, that which God continues, and there's that which God finishes. And friend, we are saved, are being saved, we shall be saved. There is no way of cutting this up and saying, all I want is Cliffy's version. I want not to go to hell, and I want to go to... Let me ask you a question. Look at me, and you think. Do you realize a person that hates church and hates worshiping Christ, what do you think you're going to do in heaven? Watch some more TV? Oh, we're going to have better video games in heaven. I think some of you better check out your Christianity. Now, we're going to do more than worship. We're going to serve Him, which means the abilities God has given you, you're going to have them blessed. Some of us maybe can sing. Then there's Mike Rock. You say, what's he going to do? I don't know, but it ain't going to be singing. We're all the ability, look at me, and the interest, I think God is going to like pour gasoline on them. We're going to be able to serve Him without sin. And I don't mean in church. But the one thing we're not going to be doing is watching TV and playing video games. Or looking at Facebook. Wow. So what's your life? You say, I want to go to... C.S. Lewis talks about this. He could say it better than me. But it's like, why would you want to go to heaven? You hate everything about heaven. At least be honest with yourself. 1 John 3. Beloved, or behold. And by the way, this passage, I wish Tim Durham was here. Make sure I tell him Wednesday, Frenchie. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the what? Can you imagine you are called a son of God? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. Not someplace in the future. But he goes on to say, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't exactly understand what it's going to be when we see him in the future. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And by the way, folks, you have all three parts. Look up here. You're a son of God. Yes. In the future, you're going to be like him. Have you looked at verse 3? And guess what's going on right now? And every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? No, he stays in the desert, takes a nap, and gripes about church. Of course not, folks. Look at me. If you've been made the son of God by the love of God, and you're going to go be like him one day, in the middle part, you're going to purify yourself so you can be more and more like him. Of course. It's called Christianity. Next page, please. Under the verses. In the issue of justification, you will notice God works, and underneath that I have this big word, monergism. Monergism and monergistic. And mono means what, Frenchie? Yes, it means only. And then sometimes only one. Ergos is the Greek word for work. Justification is monergistic. It means only, right above it, folks. God works alone. You understand? You don't help when you get saved. You say, Pastor, what do I do when I get saved? I'll tell you, you do exactly one thing. You bring your sin. That's it. When you get saved here, folks, it is monergistic. It is God works alone. Now we move to sanctification. It's synergistic. Sin, most of us know, means with. It means above. God works, and therefore, we work. You see, the God, Paul's confidence, the God who had begun a good work, will continue that good work. Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, meaning when I'm there, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Why? For it is God who worketh in you. My goodness, Almighty God who created the universe is working in you. And you're telling me 20 years later nothing has changed? I call you liar. Sorry. My God works. And I think too many of us still grew up in those churches where everything was getting saved and knowing you're saved. And he's only preached that sermon for 242 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. Where's the Christianity? It's my question. Next, glorification, God works alone. So we have God works alone in justification. God works and therefore we work. Synergism or synergistic in sanctification. But folks, It's not like you and God do equal parts. It is God, if I can say it, kicking you in the pants. It is God working in you. It is God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that's synergistic. When it comes to glorification, God again works alone. It's monergistic. Okay? Lastly, and we might be over a minute or two, but it's Debbie's fault. Justification, look at me. Thank you. 1 minute and 12 seconds. Justification is one kind. There's just one kind of justification. So everyone look at me. If you're saved in this room, none of us get more, none of us get less. God doesn't look out and say, you're a Filipino, you only get three quarters. You're a blonde, you only get half. Hello? It's just one kind. We all get everything in Christ, yes? Now, what about sanctification? Now we got a problem. In your notes, I say this. There are many different kinds, or if you prefer, levels. I would recommend you write this down. We don't have time to deal with it. 1 John 2:12 through 14. 2:12 through 14. 2:12 through 14. You say, why? It talks about three different stages of Christianity after you're saved. You say, how many stages are there? Look at me. I don't know. But I do know this. There are no Christians saved that don't move. That doesn't exist. That's a lie. Because our God, who begins a good work in us, thank you for the bell, will perform that until the day of Jesus Christ. If you hadn't kept laughing, I'd been done. And we're now done. Glorification, there's only one kind. That means when we get to heaven, there will be, look at me, folks. I know you, I can see Stacy singing and playing it. I got a mansion just over the hill, Tom. Look at me. Hey, of course, you're not a very good Christian, so you're going to have a two-room outhouse in heaven. But I got a mansion. No, when we get to heaven, folks, we'll all be of one kind, like Christ, with one exception, except for the rewards. But by the way, the rewards won't be, hey, my house has 12 bathrooms, yours only has one. No, the rewards will be something that are given back to Christ. There will be nobody in heaven saying, look at Phil. Yeah, he's here. I guess he was saved. I've heard that kind of preaching. Mary, you'll have to fill us in later. By the way, no, look at me. When we get to heaven, all of us will say the same thing. Saved by the grace of God. Father, thank you for this evening. Bless our time in Christ's name.